inspiration. Two Sunday nights from tonight. You're certainly welcome to be one. We're going to do different songs, not so much the choir together. And so if you want to, if you have something the Lord laid on your heart, just let me know. The Wilsons are going to be singing. Brother Page is, and his some of his family are coming over to sing. And Brother Phillip's going to play the banjo some. And if I can find a saxophone, I saw Jose had one back there. And I might just commandeer his saxophone. I didn't know he had it. But if I can find a saxophone, I'll play something for the Christmas cantatas. Y'all pray. Amen. My saxophone was purchased in 1982. And it is done its deed. I have played it all across in camp meetings and services and revivals. And I have lugged that thing to college and up and down the roads. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to find a place in the backyard and just dig a hole and just bury it and say, rest in peace. Amen. It is just not going to play what I need it to play. And I could get it all, you know, on all new keys on it and stuff like that. And I just want to start all over. Amen. And I feel like that saxophone and I are like family, and I just want it to be like it is. Amen. But we're looking forward to two Sunday nights from tonight. And also, our guest follow up and member, our regular attendee follow up. I just want to mention Sister Renee Yelverton, Dorothy Deborah, Sister Julia Page, and Brother Ray, and Patsy Duke, and Rose Rowe, and Bill and Brenda, and Judy Boyette are some of the ones that are, and we've got other names that we haven't called out that are still interested. Some will be mailing a postcard. Some will be mailing a handwritten postcard. That's all you got to do. Just put a stamp on it and just mail it out. Now, our pastor's wife and our women's ministries director, they're already doing cards. And the pastor himself is doing some follow-up through email and calls. All of what we're doing here is to supplement that. It's not to overtake or in any way to cease what we're already doing. This is just adding to and a church that would, you know, when somebody's out one Sunday, what we want to do is we're going to assess the congregation and see who has missed that Sunday. And by the way, today we had a lot of people out. Did you notice that? I mean, Darnell, we got on the computer and looked up at all the, I thought, well, I knew we had a lot out, but we did have a lot out this morning. And so what the plan would be is that we would just mail a postcard, said, hey, we missed you Sunday. Now, it doesn't mean that they're leaving the church. It doesn't mean that they won't be back the next Sunday, but it lets them know before they, some people, when they miss that second Sunday in a row, that's when we're kind of in some problem area. Can I get a witness out there? And so we want to get a head start on that. And guess what? If it works, praise God, it works. And guess what? If it don't work, we'll try something else. Amen. And we're just going to let the Lord lead us and guide us, because I believe that 2018 can be a breakout year for Westmoreland. Our pastor has been here 20 years. He has been faithful. He's got many more years to come. We're believing to serve us as our lead pastor. Can I get an amen out there? But I believe that God wants more for Westmoreland, more in attendance, more people, because every person is a soul. Can I get an amen out there? And we don't want to forget the people who are already here. Can I get a witness out there? Because they're important as well. Very important. And I believe in a few days we're going to have the Royal Ranger Fort on campus. And immediately, now just take my word for it. Now, I may be wrong, but take my word for it. The minute that thing rolls on campus, we're going to start picking up some first-time guests just to check things out. You just watch it. So you get ready. So we're trying to get all this stuff in place, because we believe the Lord is going to do some amazing things. Somebody say, get ready. Amen. Praise God. The time is now. Praise God. The Lord is coming. He came the first time, and he's coming the second time. Brother Derek, if you're going to put up my main slide tonight, and we're transitioning to the message tonight. But if you're glad to be a part of Westmoreland, and if you believe in Westmoreland, I want you to say amen tonight. Amen. I want you to stand tonight. Amen. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. And I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of search diligently for the child. Go and search diligently for the young child. Brother Baker, the sermon title is Search Diligently for the child. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And let's go to the next slide and read Matthew 2, 1 through 5. If you're there, say amen. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" Let me stop and add one more thing to the guest follow-up. If you would like to be a part of that, we don't leave anybody out. You let us know, and we'll put you, sign you up. Amen. Now go to verse 3. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Now let's go to the next slide. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Next slide. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." And when they heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star that they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Next slide. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. You can go to the next slide. I read a lot of scripture tonight, and I'm going to be hitting all the highlights of these passages. But the title of the message tonight is "Search Diligently for the Child." Father, tonight, anoint your servant to preach the word. Thank you for the Christmas season. Thank you, God, for the anointing that's in the house tonight. Thank you for our pastor and his wife. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've promised for Westmoreland. God, I pray tonight as I preach that you'd bring a word tonight through your servant, and we'll give you the praise. And everybody said amen. Turn around and tell somebody you're glad to see them, and you may be seated tonight. Give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. Amen. In our text tonight, we find that the wise men have followed the star to Jerusalem, and they're on the way to finding the Christ child. The Bible says that when Herod found out about it, he summoned the wise men. If you go to the next slide, Matthew 2, 7 through 8. And when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently of what time the star appeared. And he sent unto them, saying, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." Now we know this was a diabolical plot. It was to betray the wise men and to kill the newborn king. We know Herod was not up to good. But there's something he said in this passage that I really believe captures the essence of what our pastor preached this morning. And I believe captures the essence of what it ought to be this Christmas season. If you'll go into the part that I have highlighted, he said, "Go and search diligently for the young child." Say that with me. Go and search diligently for the young child. And I believe that as we get every year more and more away from the manger, as we hear of schools calling it Christmas or winter solstice and not Christmas break, as it is getting more and more politically incorrect to say Merry Christmas, I believe that we need to remember that Jesus is the reason for the season. And this Christmas, we need to go and search diligently for the young child. You see, as you go to the next slide, let me tell you about the wise men. Please understand the wise men. We don't know their names. We don't know their nationality. We speculate, and commentators and scholars have said that they were perhaps from Persia. which is today modern day Iran, or Babylon or Iraq or somewhere in that area. We don't know their names. We don't know their nationality. We really don't even know their numbers. We just say three wise men, but the Bible never says there was just three. Actually, more than likely, there was a caravan, a group of men who had studied. But what we do know about the wise men is that they carefully and they eagerly, yes, even diligently, they studied. More than likely, the prophecies of Daniel that were not recorded in the scriptures, extra biblical prophecies that were available to the wise men that were not so much the sacred scripture that was should have been maintained as God had seen fit, but certainly prophets who had spoken in that time for that time, and they had studied, and they had mapped, and they had charted. And they traveled. I started to say drove, but they did not drive, I promise you. It was on camel or something, amen. But they traveled almost 1,000 treacherous miles. And I want you to think of that tonight. I want you to think of the finances that they had to put up to make that 1,000-mile journey on camelback. I want you to think of the pre-planning. I want you to think of the anticipation. I want you to think of the danger. Because these were wealthy people and they could have fallen into thieves along the journey. Think of all the effort. Yes, think of all the passion, may I say. Think of the pursuit. Think of the time. Think of the, we just see them into the Bible story, but we don't realize the backstory to the Bible story. That all that they put into finding the baby Jesus. They studied the stars. They studied the scriptures. They studied their finances. They took, it wasn't just an overnight thing. They were prepared. That they put everything they had into finding the child newborn king. And I believe tonight for a nation in crisis. And I believe tonight for families that have lost their focus. And I believe for churches that need revival. And I believe that the answers that we need in these difficult times, I believe what needs to happen is that this Christmas, we need to search diligently for the young child. We need to be passionate. We need to pursue with all of our heart. We need to search diligently for the young child. Give him a hand of praise here tonight. Amen. Well, somebody say glory tonight. Hallelujah. I said diligently. If you go to the next slide, notice when they arrived into town, they didn't say, where is the local motel? They didn't say, where is the local rabbi? They didn't say, where is the king so that we can check in with him? Look at Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2. They came into town saying, where is he at? My goodness, that's what needs to be the cry of every home. Where is he? The cry of every church. Where is he? The cry of every Royal Ranger, Sunday school teacher, deacon. Where is he? Let's get our minds off of things that aren't altogether right. They should be. My goodness, the focus should be, where is he in my life? Where is he in my heart? Where is he in my priority list? Where is he to every member of government, to every father and mother? We ought to be saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Let us search diligently for the young child. I remember reading a news article about the president. It was either Haiti or Jamaica, one of those two nations in the Caribbean, that the president was, I guess, in his limousine, and he heard on the radio a preacher was preaching in one of his coliseums in that nation. And so he was piped in through the radio. And the preacher was anointed and called the nation to prayer and fasting. And the president was so moved by that message that he got up. And he himself, as president, stood up to his nation and said, we are going on a 7-day fast. And I just want to ask you, what would happen if that were to happen in America? What would happen if whoever the president is, friend, as I read through my Bible and as I read through the prophets of old, we are in big trouble with God. We are a nation on a shoestring. Any moment, the fierceness of the anger of the righteous and justified wrath of God will be poured out upon our nation. And it will have no mercy except for those who are covered by the blood. And even us covered by the blood will have to suffer along with the effects that hit society. But my friend, we, if ever there was a time, as our pastor preached this morning, if there's ever a moment, if it's ever a minute, we need to say, where are you, Lord? We are going to stop everything. We're going to just say, where is he born King of the Jews? And we must and shall search diligently for the young child. Can you say amen tonight? You see, God desires to be desired. He longs to be longed for. He is attracted to our desire. We make a move toward God. It correspondingly brings a move of God. If you'll go to the next slide, in my office, when I had my pastor's office set up over the years, I had this huge picture of A.W. Tozer. A.W. Tozer died in 1963. Pastored for 28 years, the Southside Alliance Church in Chicago. One day I'd like to go and find that building, and he was buried in Pennsylvania and go to his grave. But I'll never forget, I sat in T.O. Byrd's office when I was 20 years old, and I sat at his, I'd never seen so many books in my life. And I sat in his desk, and he allowed me to sit in his office to study for a sermon that I was going to preach that night. I looked at all of those books, and I just rolled around. I pulled right at the middle, I pulled a book off, and it was a book by A.W. Tozer called Of God and Men. And I read one chapter, and I've never put a book down from that day to today. That book changed my life. Now, of course, the Bible is the number one book. Can I get a witness out there? But I want to tell you, A.W. Tozer makes this statement. He says, I want deliberately to encourage this mighty longing after God. The lack of it has brought us to our present low estate. The stiff and wooden quality about our religious lives is a result of our lack of holy desire. Complacency is a deadly foe of all spiritual growth. Acute desire must be present, or there will be no manifestation of Christ to his people. He waits to be wanted. Too bad that with many of us, he waits so long, so very long in vain. You know what I believe A.W. Tozer was saying? I believe he was saying, go and search diligently for the young child. Can you say amen tonight? I'm reminded of a man in the Old Testament by the name of Esau. You have to forgive me. I've had a tickle in my throat all day. Esau was Jacob's twin brother. Can you say amen tonight? He and his twin brother got into an argument. Can you say amen tonight? Jacob cheated his brother out of first place status because Esau actually came out first. And Esau was going to kill his brother. And so Jacob fled because of the issue. Well, 20 years later, they had a tense family reunion. The Bible says, now I'm giving you a lot of stuff there in about 30 seconds. The Bible says that Jacob, in order to appease his brother, prepared a gift for him. Now, if you go to the next slide, I've cut out a lot so I can get down to the point. Genesis 33 and 9 through 10. When Jacob tried to present to him that gift. Now, let me just, before I read this passage, understand Jacob is the anointed, has inherited the anointing. He's in touch with God. He's seen the ladder stretched up and the angels of God ascended, descended. He saw Laban trying to swindle him. And Jacob said, I'll take the ugly sheep. I'm not going to get into all the I'll take the rundown ugly sheep. And God blessed those rundown ugly sheep and they multiplied and until he became an overnight success. I'm telling you, when you got the favor of God on your life, come on now. And so Jacob, please understand, Jacob was going to impart a gift to Esau. But notice what Esau said. Esau said, what did he say? Say it with me. I have enough. Yeah. I have enough. Keep it what you got. I'm okay. I don't need any more prayer. I don't even have to come to altar every time the service is open. Come on now. I read the Bible back in 1993, but you know, I don't need any more. I got saved in 1974 when let's see, who was maybe the pastor back then in 1974? I don't know. Maybe when David Butts was here. I know that wasn't necessarily. I got saved when David Butts was here. Praise God. And I know I need the Holy Ghost, but you know what? I really got enough, you know. I know you talk about speaking in tongues, but you know what? I really got enough. You know, I know you're talking about prophesying and getting deeper with God and commitment and taking on responsibility, but you know, I really got enough going on right now. Come on, can I get a witness? My friend, you can't be like Esau. When Jacob, who is the progenitor of Jesus, when he comes to bring you something or to challenge you or to try to get you to take something that's going to bless you, don't sit there with your arm folded looking at the clock saying, when am I going to get home and watch the Dallas Cowboys? Come on, help me. My goodness. If he's got something for you, don't say I've got enough. Let me be honest with you tonight. I don't have enough. I still need another touch. I still need another prayer. I still need another read through my Bible for 2018. I don't have enough of his glory. I don't have enough of his power. I still need more and more and more. I'm telling you, go and search diligently for the young child. Give him praise in this house tonight. Hallelujah. I want more of his power. I want more of his glory. I want more of the anointing. I don't have enough. And if I got a whole lot of it tonight, I'm going to ask for more of it tomorrow. Amen. Oh, search diligently for the young child. Two things happened to those wise men when they searched diligently for the young child. Number one, on the next slide. Number one, when they searched diligently for the young child, they found him. Woo, they found him. Anybody found him? Wasn't it good? Woo, this morning I got up and I said a prayer. Guess what? I found him, Brother Philip. Hallelujah. Oh, I've been in the emergency room with my mother and they told me she got assaulted. Physically assaulted, and it broke one of her bones. And looked like the X-ray said it broke one of her critical bones. But I didn't have a pastor. I was the pastor. Glory to God. I didn't have nobody. My sister wasn't there. My daddy had died. I was just me and Mama. But let me tell you, Brother Bud, I found him there in that emergency room. God came down. I found him. Hallelujah! After all the travel, after all the study, after all the time, it was not wasted. They didn't make that journey, that treacherous journey for naught. Praise God, on that first Christmas morning, they found him, the King of Kings. And when you search for him diligently, praise God, it will not be in vain. Church, when we search for revival, it will not be elusive. Praise God, we'll find it if we seek for it. Look at Acts chapter 17. I believe I have it on the next slide. Acts chapter 17 says that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. Praise God. We can find him. The prophet said in the next slide, Jeremiah 29, verse 13. And you shall seek me and find me. Did I skip Jeremiah 29, Brother Derek? I may have. Jeremiah 29, I'll just read it. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. Now go back to the slide we have now, Brother Derek. That's perfect. Just leave that one up there. Let's go back to A.W. Tozer. We taste thee, O thou living. This is a prayer he wrote. O thou living bread. Now listen, we taste you, but long to feast upon thee still. We drink of thee, the fountainhead, and thirst our souls for thee to fill. Then he says, come near to the holy men and women of the past. You will soon feel the heat of their desire after God. They mourned for him. They prayed and wrestled and sought for him day and night, in season and out. And watch this. And when they found him, the finding was all the sweeter for the long seeking. Now you know why that book changed my life. Praise God, because that's me. As the pastor says, I'm satisfied that I'm not satisfied. But I'm telling you, I find him. And when I find him, I get even more. And then when I realize that I have gotten more, I realize there's more to be had. So I get even more. Do you know that a million years from tonight, one of my prayers will be, I want to know you more, Lord. 20 million years from tonight, I'm going to be praying this prayer. God, show me your glory. You say, well, we'll be in heaven. Let me tell you something. God is an infinite and unsearchable being. We cannot, with his creation, can never tap the depths of the Creator. Forever and forever and for glory upon glory, time upon end, we will be dwelling in the glory of the Lord and learning more and more and more and more and more. Praise God. Search diligently for the young child. Say amen tonight. Praise God. Just go ahead to the next slide. You know, the wise men brought to him three gifts. They brought to him, what was the three gifts? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And I want to talk to you about those and then give you the last point and we'll close. But they brought to him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It reminds me of a little boy when he was asked by his father if he remembered what the gifts were. He said, yes, gold, Frankenstein, and humor. Now, why did they bring gold, frankincense, and myrrh? They brought him gold. Here's a quote from the movie The Nativity. It's a great movie. Gold for the King of Kings, frankincense for the priest of priests, and myrrh for the sacrifice he will make. So they gave him gold, number one, because he was a king. I read somewhere where Charlemagne the Great was crowned on December the 25th on Christmas Day. I did some study and realized that William the Conqueror of England was also crowned on Christmas Day. Ladies and gentlemen, in 2017, let's crown Jesus Christ once again, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's search diligently for the young king. Somebody say amen. They gave him gold because he was a king. They gave him frankincense because he was not just the priest, not just the high priest, but the great high priest. Woohoo! Glory! Are y'all with me tonight? Frankincense. Somebody say the word incense. The Bible speaks of prayer as being incense. The fragrance of the priest. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What is myrrh? I don't have time to go in. I know you've studied different ones. But according to my studies, one of the uses for myrrh would be what we would call, the only way I can liken it to today, it was a form of embalming fluid. I hope that doesn't shock you. Now, how many of you mothers out there, when you have your baby shower and you get a crib and you get Pampers and you get the closet, you know, little closet to put the clothes in, and you get the little toys. How many of you would like it for you to get a bottle of embalming fluid? How many of you know that just wouldn't go good? Come on now. Why in the world would they bring him myrrh or embalming fluid? Because let me tell you something. All the wise men understood this, and you need to understand this. All babies born have to die. True? Every baby that comes into the world will have to die. But they understood that this baby before them that they gave myrrh to, they understood this baby did not have to die. They understood this baby would choose to die. Somebody just lift your hand and thank him tonight. Hallelujah. Gold because he was a king. Say amen. Amen. Frankincense because he was a priest. Say amen. And myrrh because he was the Savior. For unto us a child is born. That's his humanity. He was a child born. But the prophet went on to say, but unto us also a son is born. Given. Hallelujah. Not a son was born, but a son was given. Glory to God. He was the Son of God before Mary's womb. He was given to you and I. Listen, it's just ironic because I was thinking about this, but Richard Nixon was president when they did the moonwalk, you know, when they planted the flag on the moon and the astronauts were up there and it was on TV. I'm sure Brother Elam remembers watching that day. I mean, I know he was there, and I love you, Brother Elam. Amen. He's going to give me embalming fluid if I don't quit here. but you know, somebody said, and Richard Nixon's, I'm actually reading a book right now on Richard Nixon, his comeback in 1968, where he was politically dead, and Pat Buchanan has written a great book about how he came back, and I like comeback people. Amen. Praise God. But that's beside the point. But Richard Nixon, his mother was a Quaker. His mother was a great, great godly woman. And one of the reasons God advanced him because of his Christian heritage from Whittier or from California. He was raised in California. But somebody in the White House said, President Nixon, the greatest sight that we have ever witnessed is for man to walk on the moon. And President Nixon said, no, sir, that's not the greatest event in human history. It's not that man's foot touched the moon, but that at the first Christmas, God's foot touched the earth. Somebody give him a hand of praise here tonight. Search diligently. They found him and gave him worship and gifts. And they found him. And what a wonderful thing it was. And then point number two, when they searched diligently for the young child, they not only found him, but point two, they left in a new direction. Go to Matthew chapter 2, the next slide. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country. Somebody say those next two words. You can go to the next slide, Derek. Thank you. You see, when you search diligently for the young child, you will never be the same. Never be the same. I will never, never, never be the same. When you search diligently, it changes your life. It changes the life of your friends, your family, your coworkers. It changes destiny. You came in one way, you go out another way. You see, God is all about new directions. And I don't know about you, but I don't like detours. Oh my goodness. But I'll tell you, sometimes a detour, just look at it as a new direction. Amen. Faith Hill sings a song, and April sung it Friday night. I told April, I said, the only person who really can do that song justice was Faith Hill. Now, others have sung it and done well. I heard others in Falcon sing it, and they did good. But Faith Hill just, and she I don't know if she's a Christian or not, but I said, when I heard April sing it, she just upped Faith Hill. I mean, she just sung it so good, those of you that were here. But a baby changes everything. Turn around and tell your neighbor, a baby changes everything. I'm telling you, new directions. Hallelujah. Do you need a new direction in your life? In your ministry? In your finances? You've been through some sickness, but God's given you some new direction. What changed that night? What changed? And I don't have time to go into it, but I'm going to give you a couple things. I'm closing. History changed that night. What if Jesus had never been born? Did you know all that we take for granted today is a direct result of the baby laying in a manger? Let me give you just a few examples. The modern hospital. Did you know that was a direct result of Jesus? If he had not been born in a manger, we would not even know hospitals. Y'all are looking at me like, what do you mean, Pastor? Because let me tell you, in every other culture, in every other country, when people got sick, they ran away from them. Why? They were afraid to catch it. If Aunt Sally got sick, we're going to take her down the road and leave her to die. I kid you not. I am not. It's a little comical, but I promise you, if you didn't like your husband and he got sick, you were like, oh, hallelujah, I'm rid of him now. They didn't wait upon the sick because they were afraid to catch their diseases. But in Europe, there was a church. And here's the way the church handled the sick. We don't care if we catch the disease or not. These people need to be cared for. These people need. And why were they motivated? Because of a baby that came into this world infected with sin, that dwelt among us and didn't just leave us to die. That's where the modern hospital. Did you know modern hospitals started in church sanctuaries? They said, they had nowhere else. No, don't take Aunt Sally and throw her out in the country. Bring her here and lay her on the pew and let us nuns and let us priests, let us ministers care for Aunt Sally and maybe she might recover. But if not, we'll give her a dignified burial. I'm about to shout here tonight. I'm telling you, that baby changed everything. So when you go to the hospital parking lot and you have to walk a country mile and you can't find your way and you get lost and find yourself in the morgue or something, let me just tell you, be thankful because a baby changes everything. That when you're sick, we're going to take you to that nice hospital bed and it rises up, rises down 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And even when it ain't good, it's better than most of the world. We are blessed and highly favored of God. Give him a hand up. Praise here tonight. He changed everything. The modern school. Start John Calvin and the Reformers. They had a public school. They said that the people of the country should pay that kids would be educated. Did you know why they wanted a public school? Because they wanted to teach the kids to read. Do you know why they wanted to teach the kids to read? So they can read the Word of God. So all you kids who are falling asleep in class and you don't like mathematics and you don't like to have to give a book report, listen, just enjoy it. I promise you real life is a lot worse. Can I get a witness out there? And be thankful that you can read and spell and write your name because a baby changes everything. And thank God that when they found him, it was new directions for history. And it was new directions for them. They came one way, they left another way. And my friend tonight, if you'll come to Jesus, you may say, well, I was born a gay. I was born alcoholic. I was born this, that, and the other. Listen, we love you just as you are. But God loves you as you are, But he loves you so much, he won't leave you like you are. Praise God. He'll turn you around and you'll leave. Has anybody been to Calvary here tonight? You were headed down the wrong way. Oh, my friend. You know what? God, Brother Clark, let's go ahead and pretend because I'm getting down to the close here. One of the things that bothers me sometimes is when I miss my turn down a four-lane highway, divided highway, I miss my exit, and I have that sinking feeling I can't make a U-turn. Don't that aggravate you as well? I was in Raleigh not too long ago. I think it was up there around Wake Med Hospital visiting somebody, and I missed that turn. I had to go all the way down Newbern Avenue. Way out of my way. Because a couple of the places said, no U-turn. And I don't know if you're like me or not, because I believe in progressive sanctification. So that means I'm not perfect. I will sneak a U-turn when I'm not supposed to. But I found out as sure as I do it, the cop's going to be right around the corner. You got a witness? Let me tell you something. Listen to me tonight. I don't care where you are. God allows U-turns. God allows U-turns. They left in a new direction. And I believe that if we'll search diligently for the young child, there'll be a turnaround in our nation. There'll be a turnaround in our church. There'll be a turnaround in our finances. Can I testify about finances for a moment here? I hadn't planned to say anything. But my wife, we got married on August the 4th, 1994. The next Monday, she got up. We lived in Winterville. She drove all the way to Tarboro to teach school, first day at class, or for teachers to go back. So from, what is it, August the whatever that date was, 1994, until September of 2017, she never missed a day of work. Never. Every single day. Up, out of bed, work, 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 for all those years. And God gave her a job 2 years ago, and it actually was the reason we came back to Wilson. I told Darnell, I said, you get a job, or I'm going to take this church in Virginia. Because one to two of us got to be employed. And if you don't have a job, then this church wants us. That must be our next assignment. In the back of my mind, I was thinking, I really don't particularly think that's where I'm supposed to go, but if we don't have a job, we gotta have some income. So are y'all okay out there? So, long story short, she got a job that brought us back to Wilson. And wonderful job, excellent job, good pay, good benefits, but she's sitting at a cubicle all day long, day after day. And she said, Ricky, I've got to find something else. And so we applied and we applied and we applied, and no door has opened. And so September, I said, honey, I think it's time. And we prayed about it, and she stepped down. I said, we'll be okay. They're going to pay us through so many weeks. But after so many weeks, you better have a job. Y'all still love me out there tonight? We got to the end of October, and I laid the rent check to Shiloh Church and the utility. Praise God, we made it through October and had more left over. And I thought, we'll never make it through November. Dear God, we won't make it through December. But to my shock, when I did the budget, I looked at what was left. I'm about to run this aisle tonight. Now, we're not talking about great amount of money left over, but I'm here to tell you it's enough to where I told Darnell, take your time going back to school. Enjoy your time off. Get caught up on some things. She's like, praise God. I'm like, look. Well, I'm just blessed and highly favored. Amen. I'm telling you, glory to God. Hallelujah. Your finances. I'm telling you, if I weren't a tither, I promise you there'd be no way. And just to give you an example, I was asked to preach at two churches that I know, the Wilson Firth, they never asked me to preach. Praise God. That helped out. Glory to God. Amen. I was scheduled a long time ago to do a home call. I didn't know I was going to need a little bit of extra, but I'm here to tell you, thank God, up through December 31st, praise the Lord, we're doing good. I'm telling you, God allows a U-turn. He makes a way where there is no way. If you're not tithing, why don't you put the tithe check in and watch God meet your need in surprising ways. Somebody shout hallelujah. Some of you need to turn around in your marriage, in your prayer life. Would you stand with me tonight? And Brother Clark, just get right ready and I'm going to tell you when to start. Somebody lift your hands to the Lord tonight. Lord, we are diligently going to search you. Look at the next slide. Brother Clark, just play softly. C.S. Lewis, Christianity, if it's false, is of no importance. And if it is true, it is of infinite importance. Therefore, the only thing it cannot be is moderately important. You know what C.S. Lewis was saying? He was saying, folks, we need to search diligently for the young child. I don't know about you, but I don't have enough. I still need another touch. I still need more of His glory. If that's your prayer, if that's your desire, would you step out of your seat? Let's close this great day by searching diligently for the young child, knowing that we will find him, knowing that we will have a new direction, knowing, come on, will you bring your gold and your frankincense and your myrrh tonight? Come on, will you just bring those offerings to Jesus? Just whenever you're ready to sing, brother, you go right ahead. Amen. Oh, we bless you tonight, Lord. We praise you tonight. Every hour. I need you every hour. I need you, Lord, for our church, for Westmoreland. We search diligently. God, there's more for Westmoreland, Lord. We're not backing up. We're moving forward, God. You're going to add numbers such as should be saved. Sick bodies are going to be healed. Lives and destinies are going to be in a new direction. Oh, God, we want more. We search diligently, God, for your favor, for your anointing. We find you, Lord. We search diligently for healing tonight. God, I thank you for healing every sickness, every disease. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. I bless you tonight, God.
Now, my Savior, I come to thee.
I need you, Lord. I don't have enough. Oh, God, whatever you have for me, I want it tonight. There's more, God. Lord, take us on a U-turn, God, if we're headed in the wrong direction, Lord. Amen.
I need, oh, I need thee.
Every hour I need thee.
Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
Isn't that what Jabez did? Prayer.